Hey, how you doing? My name's June, June Comfy. My friends call me Junie, and my enemies call me Sir. My parents call me all kinds of weird stuff, like Sweetie and Peanut. Sometimes, when they're especially goofy and lovey-mushy, they call me Junebug. I don't mind being called any of those things so much, but there's one name that really drives me batty, and that's when they call me June the Prune. They call me that on account of I like to take long baths a lot, and sometimes I get, well, pruney. Hey, I can't help it if I'm clean. What do they want, moss growing between my toes? Really, it ticks me off. I mean, I'm just settling in for the first hour of a nice hot bath, and it's, June the Prune, get out soon. It's bedtime now, here comes the moon. Take out the trash, you're late for school. Bath's 15 minutes, you know the rule. Now there's a new one that I hear all the time that isn't nearly so poetic. June, I need the bathroom. My mom yells that one at me because she's close to having the new baby. What a lame excuse. Then, after it's born, they'll probably want to give it baths and stuff. In my tub. You wait and see, I bet they do. But anyway, I haven't told you the worst of it yet. I'm being shipped out until after the new arrival arrives. I'm supposed to stay with my Grammy out on her farm. Hicksville. I can't believe I'm stuck in a place where cow tipping passes for cultural entertainment. Oh, by the way, this is my Grammy, Grammy Comfy. In spite of the fact that she lives in the sticks, she's not half bad. In fact, she's pretty okay. I mean, she doesn't have a 64-bit Nintendo or a cool car, but she does make awesome Toll House cookies. That's chocolate chip. Let me stay up late watching TV, even though she doesn't have cable. And sends me cards on my birthday with money in them. And as if that weren't enough, there's one more thing too. My Grammy has the most amazing bathtub I've ever seen in all my 8 years. We're talking feet. The thing has feet. Once I get in that bad boy, I ain't never getting out. Those old claw feet can up and walk that tub around and take me anywhere I need to go without getting out of the bath. So, I know what you're thinking. Why aren't I soaking in that tub right now? Well, see, there's this little problem. Even though she's pretty okay, my grandmother has a humongous fatal flaw. Grammy Comfy is spunky. You know the type. She always has to be doing something. Cooking, cleaning, laundry, small engine repair. Idle hands are the devil's playground. This is Grammy's favorite saying. Take a look at the reason I'm not in that wonderful tub. It's my list of chores. And these aren't just any old chores either. These are farm chores. Wash the dishes, do the laundry, clean the stable, weed the garden, milk the cow, take out the trash. Who does she think I am? Old MacDonald? I can't even spell E-I-E-I-O. Face it. Grammy's too practical to let me in that tub just because I want to be in there. She'd have to have some sort of reason. I'd have to be grubby or something. I hate that. Hey, something's been walking around here. I wonder what it is. Ah, goodbye dishes, goodbye cows, and goodbye laundry. Nothing to do but kick back and enjoy my bath. Peace and quiet. Actually, come to think of it, a little too quiet. Something's missing. Let's see. Hot water, suds, bubblegum-scented aromatherapy, comfy inflatable pillow with suction cups. I've got it. I know what's missing. Did you ever notice how every time you go visit relatives who don't have kids, there's always something missing? Toys. There's no tub toys in this place. Knock, knock. Junie, can I come in? Grammy said. I have something for you. I feel so bad, you poor dear, getting sprayed by that filthy skunk like that when I know how much you wanted to get working on those chores and stay away from the bath. Here, I've brought you some tub toys. Wow, I said. That old Grammy radar sure kicked in today. Where'd you get these? They used to be your father's, Grammy replied. He used to like to take long baths just like you. So, I got him these. Long baths? Daddy? I couldn't believe it. Daddy takes 45-second showers. You have fun with those educational toys, sweetie, Grammy called as she left. I'm going to finish my Afghan. When I'm done that, if you're still in the tub, I'll start on your chores. Take your time, you poor dear. Start on my chores if I'm still in the tub? Ha! You better believe I'll take my time. Now, let's see what we have for goodies in the toy bucket. You gotta be kidding me. A fat plastic seahorse, a purple shark, and a little funnel. I have to tell you that I was so disgusted with these poor excuses for toys, I refused to play with them. I put them on the side of the tub and lay back on my air pillow. I guess I must have drifted off, pun intended, because next thing I know, I wake up to the sound of tiny shouts and I feel little tickly things swishing all around me under the water. I must have jumped about a mile and sent water splashing and my pillow flying. Help! Help! Someone please stop that cartilage cad! Screamed the first tiny voice. I looked around wildly, but didn't see anyone. Grammy? Who's there? I said. The water settled down, and everything was quiet for a minute, and then the very small head of the toy seahorse poked out from underneath a mound of suds.
Tea biscuit, young lady, said the seahorse. I am called Tea Biscuit, and that brute Sharkster means to make a meal of me.
You talked, I said. You're that toy from the bucket, and you talked.
Quite perceptive, Tea Biscuit said, kind of out of breath. Now, if you would be so kind as to wash that shark down the drain, or better yet, toss him across the room into the toilet and flush him. He's been chasing me around and around, and I'm afraid a seahorse in my condition has no business.
What condition is that? I asked.
Fat, said another voice.
I looked and saw a purple fin break water in a clear spot between the suds. When it surfaced, I saw it was the other tub toy, the shark. The name shocks the sweetie, and I didn't mean the little guy no harm. Just having some fun is all.
The bathtub is no place for fun, Tea Biscuit shot back. It is, after all, the leading location of accidents in the home. I'm sure the young lady would concur.
Well, I don't know if there's anything wrong with a little fun, I said, and I suppose the bathtub is as good a place as any to have some. Me, if I wasn't relaxing in here, I'd have to be out doing chores.
Do you mean to say you are shirking your responsibilities? Tea Biscuit asked.
No, I ain't shirking nothing, I said. I'm just not doing the laundry.
That's it, kid, the shark broke in. Don't you be a sucker for anybody. If taking care of oneself constitutes being a sucker, then I stand condemned.
Old Tea Biscuit was getting a little flustered now. Sharkster ducked under the water again, and the seahorse looked around nervously. A moment later, Sharkster came up much closer to me. He smiled and motioned for me to lean down to his level. That smile of his was full of sharp teeth, so I hesitated a second.
What's your name, kid? He said.
June Comfy, I replied.
Junie, come on down here so I can talk to you, privately.
Don't do it, child, warned the seahorse. I'm telling you he's a man-eater, and a little girl-eater as well. Kid, come on, answered Sharkster. In the first place, I'm 5 inches long. I'd choke on your little piggy that goes wee-wee-wee all the way home. In the second place, I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, of all the... You don't know the first thing about your new friend here, said Tea Biscuit.
So you're saying you only eat fruits and vegetables? I asked the shark.
That's right, you heard me, he said. I'm a vegetarian. I don't like to admit it because I get teased an awful lot about it, but there it is.
Besides, I want to tell you about a place where you'd never have to do laundry or dishes ever again. I paused, looked from Sharkster to Tea Biscuit, then leaned down to hear what the shark had to say. While Tea Biscuit flitted nervously and angrily back and forth, Sharkster told me a wonderful tale. He described to me a place where no one ever does anything but have fun. Whatever you would want, food, clothes, toys, can be had by simply waving your hands a few times. Best of all, there are no chores to do, ever. The news about not doing any chores sent Tea Biscuit into a tizzy. I know my mom, dad, and Grammy would agree with him, but I just can't see it that way. So you know I said yes when Sharkster invited me to go with him to a land of all play and no work. This land called Bubble Island. Is Bubble Island far? I asked.
Yes and no, replied Sharkster. For someone big like you, it's not far at all. Thing is, you can't go big. You have to go small.
Go small? I was confused. How do I go small?
Take that toy funnel off the side of the tub and stick your hand through it, he told me.
Yes, yes, get small. Go on and stick your hand through it,
warned Tea Biscuit. And while you're at it, stick your arm and your leg and your body through it as well. Only don't bother with your brain, because if you're even considering doing what he asks you, then your brain is already small enough. Well, I suppose you know me well enough by now to know what a difficult decision this was for me. Go to an island where there are never any chores, or stay and get nagged. I grabbed the funnel. Cool.
It was the strangest feeling. The funnel looked small on the outside, but when you started reaching your hand in, it was like it was enormous inside. I was sure I wouldn't even be able to get one finger through without it being crammed in the center hole, but fact was, I had my whole arm in there with room to spare. As I got into my shoulder and had my head almost against the side of the funnel, I could see in there through the corner of my eye. It looked like a big tunnel that cars and trucks would drive through.
Hello?
I shouted, and would you believe it? I got an echo. After I swam through the tunnel, that's right, swam through, and came out on the other side treading water in the bathtub, I noticed something else. Not only had I gotten smaller, the tub got bigger. Now, I know you're thinking that if I shrunk, of course the tub looked bigger. But it wasn't just that. I mean, that tub was big. Much bigger than it should have been, even for someone of my size. Clear areas of no suds were the size of lagoons, and where the suds themselves were piled high, they looked like mountain ranges.
I just don't understand what's gotten into children these days, said Tea Biscuit.
Good girl, said Sharkster, and he immediately dove under the surface and started swimming toward me. Something about being small in the water and seeing that fin coming straight for me, I don't mind saying that it scared me a little bit. When Sharkster got near, he stopped, poked his head above the surface, with a splash and a smile, and said, "Grab hold, Junie, and let's be off to Bubble Island." With me hanging onto his fin, we were off like a shot, and poor fat old Tea Biscuit did his best to keep up. All the while, he kept going on and on about responsibility, earning rewards through effort, and all that same old stuff. Meanwhile, he's panting and wheezing and falling further behind, but staying just close enough to be annoying. Just when I didn't think I could take one more word, Sharkster stopped short. "How you doing back there?" he says to Tea Biscuit.
"Don't concern yourself with me," Tea Biscuit replied. "I'm in excellent shape for a seahorse in my condition."
But all the same, you could see he was having real trouble. Sharkster motioned to the inflatable pillow which was floating near us like a raft. "Why don't you hop aboard and ride for a while, and we'll tow you."
"This young girl may fall victim to your schemes," Tea Biscuit began, "but I would never..."
"Come on, what do you got to lose?" Sharkster cut in. "Besides, you're huffing and puffing like the big bad wolf back there." You could tell that Tea Biscuit was very tempted. Then I couldn't believe I heard myself say, "I want you to come with us. Come on, how else are you going to keep up?" I guess I must have just felt sorry for him or something. That was enough. He climbed up on the pillow.
"For the sake of coming along and watching out for you," he said to me, "I'll do it."
That seahorse was no sooner sitting on the edge of that pillow when Sharkster grabs hold of the end of a face cloth that was dangling down on the side of the tub. He gives a great big tug, and the cloth comes tumbling down, pulling with it an enormous bar of soap that had been sitting on it. That soap was the size of a bus, and it was rocketing straight down toward the pillow. It didn't crush Tea Biscuit, if that's what you were worried about. It did, however, land on the opposite end of the inflatable pillow and catapult the seahorse up and out of sight. The last I saw of Tea Biscuit, he was sailing toward the front of the tub, in the general direction of the faucet. I didn't laugh out loud the way Sharkster did, but I have to admit that I thought it was kind of funny. Hey, remember, even if he was swimming around and talking, he was still just a toy. My heart sank when Bubble Island first came into view. I couldn't believe that was it. After swimming all that way and staying in the tub almost as long as I ever do, what we were rewarded with was just another white mound of suds. True, this mound was far bigger than any of the others we had seen, but otherwise, it was no different. Or so I thought. "You gotta be kidding me," I said. "This is Bubble Island? This pile of foam?"
"That's where you're wrong, Junie," said Sharkster. "This ain't no pile of foam. This here's ancient Greece, the Great Pyramids of Giza, the rainforest, the surface of Mars. This is anywhere you want it to be. Allow me to demonstrate." And with that, Sharkster scooped up a great ball of soap bubbles with his fin and flung it up into the air. The ball disintegrated into millions of tiny bubbles, which drifted lazily back down to us. I stared straight up at them. The first one landed on the tip of my nose. It was cold for a moment, and then it melted. I thought that was strange, considering these suds had come from warm bath water. I suddenly realized that these weren't bubbles at all. They were snowflakes. Millions of snowflakes floating down all around us. Sharkster scooped up more suds. This time, he formed them into a box. He held it out to me, and before my eyes, it transformed into a gift. A gift wrapped in gleaming white paper and delicate lace. "It can even be Christmas, Junie," he said. I took the present. "What is it?" I asked. "Whatever you want it to be," he replied with a smile. For what seemed like hours, Sharkster and I filled Bubble Island with our wild creations. I made flowers, and he made trees. I made a kitten, and he made a pony. I made him a top hat, and he made me a crown. "A crown?" I said, surprised. "For the Princess of Bubble Island," replied Sharkster. "I can't be the Princess of Bubble Island," I argued. "And why not?" Sharkster questioned. "Well, for one thing," I said, "princesses live in castles, and there are no castles on Bubble Island." "That's easily remedied," said Sharkster. We swept from the suds our grand castle. By this time, I'd been in the water so long, I was getting pretty wrinkly and hungry. The castle was beautiful, and that made me forget the wrinkles. But nothing could make me forget my gnawing stomach. "I'm hungry," I said. "Now that you mention it, I could really go for a bite myself," Sharkster replied. "I know what," I said, grabbing a handful of suds. "I'll whip us up a feast." "You'll do that," he said. "I'll create the atmosphere." Sharkster began to make tall candlesticks all around, while I made the food. I made giant hamburgers with tomato and ketchup and mustard, and I made chocolate ice cream and cake and big milkshakes and candy bars as thick as a book. My mouth was watering. "Sharkster, I can't wait anymore," I said. "I've got to have a bite."
"You go right ahead, Junie. I'm almost finished now," he answered.
I picked up the hamburger. The bun was warm and soft and fresh. It smelled like a backyard barbecue. I plunged my teeth into it and tore out a huge bite. It took a second or two for the realization to hit me that I had a mouthful of bathwater suds.
"Doesn't taste very good, does it?" Sharkster said. "I guess I forgot to mention that. Oh, and by the way, it's not very filling either."
"Well, what's going on?" I demanded, spitting out the soapy water. "Is it real or isn't it?"
"Once again, yes and no," replied Sharkster. "Your mind sees it as real, but your body knows it is false."
"But I'm really, really hungry," I sobbed.
"So am I," said Sharkster. "So am I."
It was then that I noticed two things. Sharkster was staring at me, drooling, and the tall candlesticks he built had formed a jail around me.
"Why are you looking at me like that?" I said.
"I'm really, really hungry," came the answer.
"But you can't eat me," I argued. "You said so yourself. You're a vegetarian."
"That I am," the shark responded, still advancing on me.
"Vegetarians don't eat little girls. That much I know," I said.
"True, but they do eat fruit," said the shark. "Check your fingertips, Junie."
I did, and they were wrinkled like crazy. Sharkster's face was right up against the bars of my new cage now, and he hissed at me.
"You're not June the little girl anymore. You're June the prune. And prunes, my dear, are fruit." "I'm off to make myself a stove and dining table," he said. "Don't you go anywhere."
As soon as he was out of sight, I rattled my cage as hard as I could. It was no use. The bars were solid. I guess my mind was more sure those bars were real than my body was sure that they were suds. I did the only thing left to do. I sat and I cried. I cried and I cried. I cried so hard that my tears turned me into an even bigger prune. For once, I wish my mom and dad were here. New baby or no baby, I wish someone was here to bust into the bathroom on me and bug me about doing my chores. I wished I was anywhere but in this tub.
I even wished I was out doing my chores. I wasn't, though. I was just sitting in the tub crying. Crying so hard it felt like rain. Wait a second. It was raining. I was indoors and this couldn't be happening. But it was. It was raining. What's more, the raindrops were melting my jail bars away like the suds they were. I looked up and saw the shower. Not the rain shower, but the real shower. It was on. Someone had turned on the shower. There, over by the faucet, way far in the distance, I saw him. It was Tea Biscuit. He was smiling and waving, standing on top of that knob he'd turned on. I broke free and started swimming as fast as I could. I hadn't gotten far from my prison when Sharkster returned, and he was right after me. Now, the only swimming I know is the dog paddle, and this chase wasn't even going to be close. Sharkster was gaining on me faster than I wanted to think about. I began to accept the fact that I was about to become a meal for a tub toy. Just as that shark's teeth were nipping at my toes, I started picking up speed. Something underneath me was tickling like mad, but it was okay because it was making me go faster. I kept on going faster and faster until I was practically flying through the water. As I left Sharkster behind in a cloud of suds, I glanced down to the water beneath me. Holding me up and racing me along was an army of baby seahorses. Every last one of them was a spitting image of Tea Biscuit. I wondered about that. Tea Biscuit's condition? And those babies? I mean, sure, he was fat, but he couldn't have been going to have a baby, or babies, could he? He's a guy. When I got to the funnel, I thanked all the babies and crawled through. It worked in reverse, exactly as I hoped it would. I climbed out of the tub, still soaking wet, and pruned. That was when Sharkster hit the funnel. It hadn't occurred to me that he might try that, or that it would work. But there he was. Sharkster was pushing his way through the funnel backwards and washing up over the side of the tub, big as a real shark. I backed away in horror. A tiny voice yelled at me, "The closet! The closet!" It was Tea Biscuit, on top of the shower faucet. "Get to the closet and grab a towel. Dry yourself off and become pruneless. He can only eat you if you're June the Prune." "That's it," I thought. "I've got him beat." I backed to the closet and flung the door open. I stood frozen. I hadn't done my chores. No chores meant no laundry, and no laundry meant no towels. I was stuck, cornered in the bathroom with a life-size Sharkster slithering across the floor to me. I was done for. That's when everything went black. I awoke in a dark, warm, dry, and comfy place. This could not be the belly of a rubber shark. I poked my head up through something soft and discovered that I was in Grammy's living room, snuggled safely in her freshly knit afghan. I quickly examined my hand. No prunes. The afghan must have dried me. "You're awake, June, sweetie," Grammy said to me. "I suppose I'll take your nap as a compliment on the comfort of my knitting and consider this afghan a chore well done. Perhaps you'd like to learn to make one yourself," Grammy said. "Your parents called a short while ago. You could make one for your brand new baby sister." "Baby sister?" I said. "Cool." "It takes some effort," Grammy said, looking at me closely. "That's okay," I said. "It sounds like fun." "There's nothing more satisfying or rewarding to me than seeing a loved one wrapped safely in the fruits of my labor." She patted the edge of the afghan. "It feels all right then?" "Grammy," I said, "it's the most wonderful thing I've ever felt." Thanks for joining us on Amazing Adventure Number 1, June the Prune. This story was written by Thomas Tosi and illustrated by Heidi Tosi. I'm Victoria Hogan, and I've read the part of June for you. We'd like to thank Nancy Brennan and the Performing Arts Department of John Stark Regional High School for their assistance in dramatizing the story. Be sure to look for other stories and activities in the Amazing Adventure series, and thanks again for visiting.